All right, testing 1, 2. We're going to go ahead and roll into our post-race press conference. We've now been joined by Hendrick Motorsports VP of Competition, Chad Canals. Chad's here to represent the leadership of Hendrick Motorsports following Kyle Larson's win here at Kansas Speedway today. Chad, congratulations on another victory, another dominating performance by Kyle and Cliff and the team. Just tell us a little bit about your perspective from today and really just all of Hendrick Motorsports who had strong runs.
Yeah, it's really was a great day for us. Obviously, the victory and the pole was something that you can be extremely proud of. But I think if you take a step back and look at the performance of the 48 car, you know, drop the green flag, they go from 21st all the way up to 9th, showing that the speed in the car was there. Execution was good all day long, and to be able to get a top five, it's unfortunate we had that issue with the 24 car with the tire. Obviously, that wasn't an isolated thing to them. It was, you know, across the field, no make, no manufacturer, you know, was isolated and wasn't impacted by that to some degree. So that's unfortunate, but we'll go home and we'll dig into that. But I'm proud of those guys continuing to fight through the day. And the 9, obviously, was really strong and had a great day going, was able to go up there, pass for lead and lead laps, something that, you know, we've been encouraging and pushing that 9 team, and they're getting better and better. So that's really nice to see. But, you know, to be here on Mother's Day, obviously, and to be able to get the victory with the 5 car was something very special.
All right, we'll go ahead and go for questions. If you have one, raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. We'll start up front with Jeff.
It's obviously really hard to get 4 cars running really well at the same time, but regardless of the results, it feels like right now you guys, as you just laid out, really have speed. I mean, if nothing goes wrong, potentially you guys have 4 top fives in theory. What is going right for you guys in the organization right now to have that speed across the board with all 4 teams?
Yeah, I think that if you take a look at it, we're maturing as a group. Obviously, the crew chiefs are now in their 3rd complete year of working together. Our drivers are maturing, working together. They dive in deep with one another. They lean on each other. The communication at Hendrick Motorsports has always been high, but I don't know that it's ever been as high as what it is right now. It's something great to be a part of. Obviously, we've got Tom Gray, who is our technical director, who moved up at the end of last year, and he's doing a really good job in his role. And obviously our leadership is just awesome with Mr. H and Gordon and Jeff Andrews. So I think if you take all those things and everybody pushes inward, and you know, obviously one thing we're not afraid to do is run towards a problem, and we do that and we try to get them resolved so that these guys can come to the racetrack and execute. And that's the thing that I think I'm probably the most proud of with our race teams is the execution throughout the course of the day. They executed a very high level. Pit stop cycles, the way they perform on pit stops, the strategies they use, really pretty awesome right now.
All right, we'll go to Zach and then Bob.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. 2 questions for you. First and foremost, for Kyle, winning this race a year ago really propelled that a really strong month of May for him with everything that he's got on his calendar again this year. How do you feel like he's prepared differently for this year, and how do you feel like a win like today's, as dominating as it was, can kind of lead to springboarding more of that success?
Yeah, obviously confidence is something that's important in everybody's life, and right now he's got a lot of it. Being able to win races here recently in the Cup Series, what he's doing outside of the Cup Series is strong. I think last year at the Indy 500, and then what we did at the All-Star Race, and what, you know, how prepared we were for the 600. Unfortunately, once Mother Nature stepped in, we didn't have a whole lot that we could do. But we're really excited about this year. His preparation is high. Cliff and the team, obviously, they're ready to execute. They got everything in place, the best of our ability, and then we just have to let things shake. So I'm super proud of those guys. It's really an honor to be able to try to execute the double, especially 2 years in a row, and we're pumped for the next couple weeks.
And then going back to the 9 car, you talked about how strong they were today. One slow pit stop kind of derails some of that. What did you see from that group particularly today, and how encouraging is that to see them up front leading laps and being as competitive as they were?
Yeah, it was great for the 9 this weekend. They unloaded, they were good. Chase had very favorable comments about the race car straight out of the gate, which was really nice. I know that Alan and Chase are digging in deep and working extremely hard with their team to try to make sure that they do that on a weekly basis. And because when they do, they execute very well. It's unfortunate that issue happened today, because I think we'd be sitting here with them easily in the top 5 with the pace that they had. So, but it only takes one hiccup, and it can kind of derail your day. So we got to keep working on those things. But as long as they continue to bring good race cars and fast race cars and execute at a high level, they're going to be where we need them.
All right, we're going to continue with questions. We'll go to Bob and then Daniel. Go ahead, Bob.
Bob Pockrass, Fox Sports. What is it about Kyle that allows him to, you know, he'll wreck an IndyCar one day, win a sprint car race the next day, nearly have a sprint car come in his lap on Friday. He was supposed to run the truck race yesterday, but Byron wants to do it, and he's like, all right, whatevs. What allows him to just do all that and be as successful as he is?
A very short memory is all I can think. He just goes and goes and goes. And the thing that I've always been impressed with Kyle since he showed up at Hendrick Motorsports is that he is unfazed. Like, nothing really gets under his skin. He doesn't get wound up. He doesn't get emotional about maybe something that happens on the racetrack. He doesn't get emotional and carry weight on his shoulders when something, maybe they have a bad race or whatever it may be. He's like water off a duck's back. You know, he just rolls with it and he goes and he continues to drive and he loves racing. You know, when we were talking about the truck race that you mentioned, you know, he's just like, well, I didn't have anything else to do, so I figured I would drive it. You know, like, it's just, that's the way he is. He loves driving race cars and he loves competing. And that's something that's pretty special. And when you have a young man that talented that wants to drive all the time, you need to let him do it.
But he also didn't care that Byron wanted to do it, right?
No. No, he's like, oh, I'll just relax for a day, which he doesn't really seem to care about doing too often. You know, he loves to race, and that's something I think all of us can appreciate. And if you're doing something that you love that much, man, just go do it.
All right, Daniel.
Daniel McFadden, FrenchFish.com. So you were enthusiastically pumping the air before you gave Alex Bowman a high five on pit road. Could you just talk about like how impressive was it what he was able to do today despite the damage he got from the contact with Zach Smith? He said he didn't want to be standing around on pit road complaining about finishing fifth, but he knew they had a better car than what they ended up with.
Yeah, they were great. They had a very good race car. It's unfortunate they had that damage early, but to be able to bounce back the way they did, again, I think is showing the character of that team. They've been fast the last handful of weeks. Four of the last 5 weeks, they've had cars that I feel like were capable of running in the top five, but they've had unfortunate circumstances take them out, you know, whether it be an engine or an unfortunate crash after a pit stop mishap or something along those lines. And I'm a big fan of Alex's. I think that he's a great young man. I think he's a great driver. He's got a great team. Blake has really built that team up around him, and they're taking things on, you know, one big chomp at a time. And they're not taking little bites. They're trying to improve, and it's pretty awesome. And, Alex and I have got a great relationship. He was saying something about me on the radio. That's why I was pumped him up a little bit. So he's a good dude, and he's a great race car driver. I'm really proud of what those guys are doing right now.
All right, Lee.
Caleb Vessel, SpeedwayDigest.com. When we usually come to Kansas, we think Toyota dominant. But you guys have won, or Chevrolet's won the past three races. Kyle's won the past two spring races. So what does that say about this organization, that considering that they've kind of taken a Toyota base track, I guess?
Well, I mean, it wasn't like they weren't there, just so you know. They were right on our heels, and we were racing with them all race long. You know, if you look at Bell, he was right there. The 11 was right there. I think the competition is really close right now. But, yeah, I feel like that our Hendrick engine program and HCD, they're pushing really hard and trying to get that performance for our cars, and our teams are digging in extremely deep. And, you know, everything is in the details right now with these cars. They're so close. They're so competitive. And you've got 38 of the best race car drivers in the United States, if not the world, out there competing in a car that's very close to one another. So I think it's all about the details. It's all about the execution. And that's one of the things that I feel like that the five excels at is preparation and details. And, you know, when you have those opportunities, you need to be able to jump on them and capitalize. And that's what we've been able to do the last couple races.
Tim Moore, Motorsports Today. Chad, I just want to circle back real quick because you mentioned Alex and mentioned you on the radio. Do you like it, first off, when he gets fired up?
Do I like it when Alex gets fired
up? Yes.
Yeah, as long as it's in a positive manner. I think that's the way with anybody. No, I mean, honestly, Alex does a great job. And if he's getting wound up, that means he cares about what's going on. And he usually doesn't get too excited unless he knows he's in a position that he's going to get a good finish. And that's where he was today. He knew that he had a car that was capable of winning the race early on. And it's unfortunate they had that damage and then, you know, had a little pit stop issue.
Now, looking at Larson, this is the fastest rate in his career, 3 wins in the first 12 races. What makes this year in particular different as compared to maybe past years in terms of that early success?
This guy's making all the difference in the world. Obviously, I've mentioned it, I don't know how many times in here, about the preparation of the team and the way they approach a weekend. And when you're able to show up with good race cars that are competitive straight out of the gate, and you have the communication level and the detail that these guys put into it to be prepared, you know, those opportunities show up more often than not.
All right, we'll go to Jeff for a follow-up.
I was a little bit confused because, okay, like I knew it was a new left side tire, right, or at least new for here, but then people had problems with the right sides, and like a lot of drivers talking about what big vibrations they had. Is that just people messing with air pressures and trying to get as close as they can? Is it the temperatures were up? Like, what, do you have any sense, or can you explain why that might have been happening today?
Yeah, it's all of it. There's no one isolated reason why you have a tire failure, and the vibrations are high. If you look at, if you walked up and down pit road at all, you saw the rubber and the debris that was laying on pit road from when they took the tires off, and the rubber's caking on the insides of the wheels. People were busting cords in their tires. That creates a vibration as well. The failures are from heat, which is, you know, a resultant of low tire pressure, load. There's so many things that go into it. It's not ever one singular thing. Rarely, it's one singular thing that creates those failures. But I want to throw out there real quick, you know, Goodyear does a really good job, right? They do a really good job. They typically bring a very good product. And what happened today, I don't think was necessarily a Goodyear issue. I think that was a competitor thing where we were really pushing the limits of the cars and the tires, just for what that's worth.
All right. Any final questions for Chad? We're going to hand it over to Cliff here. All right, Chad, thanks so much. All right, we've now been joined by our race-winning crew chief, Cliff Daniels of the number 5 Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports. We'll continue with questions, and we'll kick it off here with Zach and then go to Bob.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. Cliff, congratulations. This win a year ago kind of propelled Kyle toward a really impressive month of May. In what way can a dominating performance like you guys did achieve today help do the same as he prepares for the Indy 500 this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to help carry our momentum. And, you know, a lot of the things that we're going to take away from today that I think will be important for us moving forward, if you look at the end of stage one and stage two, we were not as fast as what we wanted to be. And so I still think that there's, you know, things on the table as a team that we need to go find and go build from and execute, you know, a little bit better with adjustments or, you know, car balance, whatever it may be. It's going to be those type of things coupled with, of course, the you know, win momentum, which is always a good thing. But when you could run up front and still walk away and have areas to improve, that is what we enjoy. That's what we're going to take away. And you know, for him, I don't know that as many times as he races, and he's talked about this before, like he just doesn't carry stuff over. I mean, he had a heck of a you know, spill the other night in the high limit race and walks right into the NASCAR race ready to go. You know, he doesn't carry one race to the next. Obviously momentum can be a real thing. It's always a good thing, but for him, he's racing all the time. So I think he's just ready to go.
Maybe it's a moot point now, but when you guys did fall to third and Chase and Brad were out front there, did you feel like there was still more to gain? Did you feel confident that you guys were going to be able to reel them in throughout the course of a long run? Or what was going through your guys' mind at that particular stage in the race?
I think it's hard to say. In the unknown for us, the 24 had really good long run pace in stage one. Obviously, hate what happened to them. The 9 had a couple good runs, a really good long run pace. It's entirely possible they could have been better than us through some of those stages of the race where we were still trying to get a few things better on our car. What Kyle and I were talking about after the race just now, and it's interesting, the leaders run such an aggressive pace, you kind of have to, when you're playing offense, you want to get the track position, maintain the track position. You know, it's just a lot of load and abuse on your tires that even if you don't necessarily feel it, you know, from a balance perspective, just the way these tires behave, the extra load from, you know, all the downforce on the car, all the clean air, that does add a bit of punishment and it kind of shortens your lifespan, you know, a little bit, if that makes sense. So I think what we were curious to see is being in, you know, kind of a behind position, not being able to run the pace that the two in front of us were, you know, was that going to provide a little bit of longevity that we had been missing, just because the roles were kind of reversed. So I don't have a great answer of what we thought was going to happen. I think we were both curious to see how those runs were going to play out. And obviously it got cut short.
All right. We've also been joined by our race winner, Kyle Larson. We'll continue with questions for Cliff or Kyle. We're going to go up here to Bob.
Bob Packers, Fox Sports. For Kyle, like Cliff said, there was pretty decent high limits wreck for you on Friday. You're supposed to do the truck race, or kind of maybe, but because Byron wanted, and so you just like, okay, you know, he can do it. And like, what, you know, you wreck an Indy car a couple of weeks ago. Nothing really seems to bother you or get under your skin too much. Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe I've hit stuff enough. I have a short memory. My memory's faded, but I don't know. I do think it's because I race a lot, I'm guessing. I would say that that's a big part of, you know, me being able to move on quickly from things, whether it's a good race or a bad race or, you know, a wreck or good result, bad result, whatever, mistakes on track. Obviously, though, if it happens multiple times in a row, it can kind of linger a little bit longer, but, you know, more so just hurt your confidence a little bit. But, yeah, I don't know. I think I just race a lot, so it probably helps.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to continue with questions. We'll go to Jeff.
This is probably like more school with Cliff type thing. But so when you're talking about the leader runs such an aggressive pace that their tires burn off more, is that like, so on the old car, let's say like the fastest car of the day, you might have got out to like a 10-second lead, a 13-second lead. You had a big lead today by next-gen standards, but it's still 5 seconds, you know? It wasn't like you're just taking off like the old car used to. Is that because that pace, or like, is that because you're like, we got to save the tires to slow down, or is it because you can't get away because you're burning the tires faster than the cars behind you?
Yeah, I don't have a great answer for why. I could theorize maybe a little bit, you know, the old car, you can get out to an 8 or 10 second lead. You still see him get out to that in the Xfinity race. I do think it's something just in the tire geometry department, where the sidewall of these tires is a lot different. So the tax on them, the load is just a lot higher. You know, it's been years since you've seen an Xfinity guy lose a tire from low air, you know, just because there's just so much more material, the sidewall, the overall construction of the tire versus what these tires are. So there's just a lot more, you know, point loading, a lot, you know, quicker abuse that happens along the way. And that over time, whatever the degradation of the tire that it, you know, presents, I think that is why you don't see leaders get out to crazy leads in the next gen era. And even to your point, we may have had a 5 second lead at one point today, but 20 laps later, it was pretty much gone down to like a second or a second and a half. There just wasn't the lifespan in our tires at that point to keep going forward. And some of those other guys lived a bit longer. We've actually seen it in reverse. I think it was Vegas this year. I think the cycle got broken. We started, you know, towards the back of the field and just not having the pace as the leaders to start a run. At the end of the run, we were crazy faster than the leaders. By the time we got reestablished inside the top four, all of our fall off looked the same, if that makes sense. So there's still some, you know, physics behind what is happening with the tires, and then of course, you know, with the next gen car, the aero dependency, other things like that that add to your tire abuse over the run. It all kind of adds up in a bit different way and a bit more, I would say, than the current Xfinity or old car.
And then the other thing I was wondering about is, so like, if nothing else goes wrong with the other Hendrick cars today, I mean, in theory, run four cars in the top five. I mean, you all had speed. And there's been so many years when, like, the fourth Hendrick car or whatever, like, it's hard to get all four cars on the same page running so well at the same time. It really feels like right now, though, like, results aside, that is the case. Like, you guys are all bringing really fast stuff. Why now? Why this year? Is there something different? Or what's going on there that everybody's so good?
I don't know that there's a specific why for this year that would be different than the path to get us here. I mean, when you think back to 2021, the last year of the old car, Dover was 1-2-3-4 for Hendrick, and we had some other really good, you know, races for the company that year. To me, it all goes back to, I think it was 2017, Mr. Hendrick demanded that we weren't going to have the building split of two teams in different buildings and put us all together. And we say it a lot, and it's one thing to say, but it's another thing to practice of how closely all four teams really do work. There's no hidden notes, there's no secret notebook. Everything is shared really out in the open with our engineering core, with the crew chief group. All of our meetings are together. We do everything, you know, as a combination of the four teams. There's never any, you know, specific meeting just or conversation that just happens between a couple groups. If we're going to talk engineering or setup theory, it's going to be with all four teams present in the same room. And that's just Mr. Hendrick's vision of how he wanted the company to be led. And I think he saw that if the communication, the teamwork, all the cliche things, but they're so important to live out. If that came into fruition, you see what you see today, where, yeah, I would argue we could have run 1 through 4, you know, with the speed of what some of those guys look like, you know, earlier in the day.
All right, we'll continue with questions. Any final questions? Okay, we'll come up to Bob, and then we have one in the back, okay?
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Kyle, does it mean anything to go into Indy as the points leader in Cup?
I just think it's really cool. I think it's good for our team. I think it's good for our sport. I think it's good for racing, you know, that the Cup Series point leader is competing in the Indy 500 for the, you know, second year in a row. I would say last year was a goal of mine. This year I didn't really think about it, but I do think it puts even more of a spotlight on us and our sports. So I do think it's really cool. And yeah, we had a great day. So great points day. And yeah, I look forward to next couple weeks and then actually getting race 600 and hopefully having the point lead after that one too.
Kirk Elliott from Sports Radio 810 WHB Racing Boys. I was curious about the new yellow line beyond your number one pit boss. How much of a factor was that? I understand that's something new.
I guess it is new, maybe, but I don't know. Typically, I feel like when you're the number one pit stall, you just like race to the camera, and it's, you know, you can win off pit road. And like when I had to drag race the 9, and then I think the 20 later, I was like, oh, you know, although they beat me to the yellow line, I'm sure I, you know, being the number one pit stall, I'm going to be leader here. And that wasn't the case. I was a little surprised by it, but yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's equalized the pit stalls a little bit more, where when the line was choked up closer to the stall one before, it was even more of an advantage than, of course, it naturally is. So I think it evened it out a little bit.
All right, we'll continue with questions. We'll go to Zach.
Kyle, I asked Cliff and Chad this, but I'm curious from your perspective, a dominating win like you had today, what can that do to help springboard the month of May this time around? Because it was similar a year ago. Did you notice any sort of benefits to going into the month with that kind of momentum?
No, I think because going back to like the original question and answer I gave, I don't really let a race affect, you know, the next day of my life. So I doubt it's going to do anything for myself, but I'd rather win, you know, leading into, you know, these next couple weeks than have a DNF or something. But I don't really think it matters. It's a totally different car, totally different series, a lot to be learned over the next couple weeks, and I race tomorrow. So, I don't think it matters.
All right.
Caleb Vessel, SpeedwayDigest.com. Kyle, you hit your leading over 10,000 laps in the Cup Series. About over 60% of it has been since you've joined Hendrick Motorsports and been partnered up with Cliff. So I guess my question is for both of you, what makes you guys work together so well? I mean, do you guys go fishing throughout the week? I mean, what do you guys do to keep on dominating in sport?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, the common thing that we have in our relationship is how much pure love we have for racing. We don't go fishing together. We don't even really talk much during the week. But I try to watch every single lap that he runs, Xfinity truck, of course, sprint car, anything else. And we'll maybe share a text quickly back and forth, depending on how his night went. Normally, I'm telling him good job. This week, I was asking him if he was okay. We love the sport. We love, you know, attacking races, figuring out ways to get better, ways to be faster. We both enjoy, you know, the way we build our team, the way our team interacts and we communicate. We're playing crazy music before the race now. That's a new thing for the 5 teams. So that all of our vision for how we, you know, approach racing together, we're so common in that I don't know. It's just fun. I think it keeps us connected.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I would add would be that I think we both just have a lot of trust in each other. You know, I trust that nobody works harder than Cliff and the 5 team. And I think, you know, he knows that although I'm not at the shop all the time, that's me trust, you know, he's trusting me that I'm working to be the best, you know, race car driver I can be, and, you know, allowing me to go race all the time and be as crazy busy as I am is only going to benefit us on the weekend. So yeah, it's been pretty amazing since 2021 and joining the 5 team, all the success we've had and all of that. So yeah, to surpass 10,000 laps is really cool, honestly. And yeah, they said that we've led the most laps at Kansas Speedway now. So yeah, really cool day.
The playlist, like, I'm just trying to think of some examples. Anything from like 80s, 90s rap to like some soft pop from the late 2000s to maybe some Metallica at times. Like, it whoever came up with the playlist, it's either Jafar or Mike that are on our car now. You will go from this end of the spectrum to this end of the spectrum, like song to song. It's a lot to keep up with, but it's fun.
Tim Moore, Motorsports Today. Kyle, this is for you. I asked Chad earlier, I'm eager to get your thoughts. This is the fastest in terms of your career. You've been to three wins. I'm just wondering what differentiates this year as compared to years past, including year where you had the championship.
I don't know. I think just I think the next gen car, you know, it hasn't changed really since it's come out. And I think every team's kind of narrowing in on their setups, and we're no different. So, you know, you learn the car, you learn the style, you just become better, you know, especially when you are up front and leading laps, you learn how to lead a race, you learn how to execute all the little details. So, I just think, the time and experience with the next gen car is probably helping, you know, the success early on in the year.
You also mentioned to us in a media center on Saturday that in terms of scheduling, you'll start getting excited for the IndyCar once you got out of the car Sunday. Is that still the plan? You're going to get excited tonight?
Yeah, I think just, you know, heading to Indy tonight. I mean, obviously, we're going to Indianapolis, you know, for the Indy 500. But still, I am running a race tomorrow. So I'm probably going to think more about that tomorrow than the IndyCar. But, it's going to be a fun 2 weeks. I look forward to working together with the team, Edo McLaren, and learning the car more, you know, trying to narrow in on our balance, and just trying to have a smooth, you know, couple weeks like we had last year, and you know, execute like you would in any race and try to be in the hunt at the end.
Okay, we'll go to Lee for our final question.
I'm just curious, with all the music talk, do you still do karaoke, Kyle?
I haven't personally done karaoke in a while, but
I need to restart that.
I enjoy others singing karaoke, but no, I don't partake in much of that. Maybe my head, but that's about it. I don't even do that anymore, so no thanks.
All right. Well, Kyle and Cliff, congratulations. Kyle, I know you often are very humble in your accomplishments, but in all seriousness, you're only the 22nd driver to achieve the 10,000 laps, only the third current active driver. So huge congratulations there. Congratulations on the win, and we wish you the best of luck in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
And Denny.
Yeah,
Denny. Thank y'all for a smooth victory lane.
Congratulations. Great job.